Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 64 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. So in this episode, I get a chance to talk to Rashad Jones from Big Lee's Serious About Barbecue in Ocala, Florida. You might also know him from Eat Sleep Barbecue on the Food Network. It was a show where he went around to barbecue joints. It was awesome. Rashad's just an amazing human. You're going to love this. You're going to be inspired by this. If you're looking about starting a business or starting a food truck or just any type of small business, you're going to love this. He lays out his path and how he did it and his thought process and what goes into each step and how he focuses so much on the customer. Like I said, you're going to love it. I'm honored that he took the time to talk to me. If you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you can get all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But enjoy this. Good evening, Rashad. How you doing?
What's up, man? I'm doing great, Kevin. How about you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm so glad we were able to connect. I know that a lot of people are itching to hear about your story, and I want to hear about your story. So how did you grow up eating barbecue? Did you grow up in Mississippi or grow up in Florida?
No, neither. Actually, my wife's from Mississippi, and I was born in Rahway, New Jersey. I grew up in Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
I lived there till about the age of 11, and we moved to Gainesville, Florida, and then I moved to Ocala at the age of 14, so at the beginning of my freshman year of high school. Fast forward a bunch of years, so I was about 28 years old. Okay. I met my wife in Gainesville. I was doing a bunch of work with volunteer work with youth. Troubled youth in Gainesville, and she was nice. Wrapping up her master's degree at the University of Florida, and we just hit it off. We got married 2008, April 12th of 2008.
Okay.
And since her family's in Mississippi, my family's in Florida, we'd alternate where we'd spend the holidays at. Every year, 1 year we're in Florida, the next year we'd go to Mississippi. So back in 2011. We hit the road. We headed to the Delta, to Greenwood, Mississippi.
Okay.
And this was Thanksgiving, with her family. And I'll never forget that morning. She said, you know what? We're going to skip breakfast because we're headed to Uncle Leon's house. He's the big cook in the family. And trust me, you're not going to want to have like any wasted stomach space on breakfast because this man can cook. So I'm like,
oh, that's so
cool. Yeah, I've never really had his food. I've never had his food before. So I didn't know what I was in for. So I want you to picture this. You walk into this old fashioned, Mississippi Delta house, real neighborhood type vibe.
Uh-huh.
You walk in this house, cool, brisk weather, Thanksgiving day. And the first thing I was greeted with was all these warm and sweet aromas. Like, you imagine the sweet potato pies, the caramel cakes, the peach cobbler. And then you smell the collard greens cooking. You smell the ham. All this stuff.
Oh, that's love.
And total love. And Uncle Leon, I mean, it was my first time in his home. Walking through that door, and he made me feel like I had been to his house a million times. Oh. He welcomed me in, handed me a plate, gave me the tour. And Kevin, there's food everywhere. There's food on the countertops, food sitting on top of the stove, food inside of the oven. He had card tables folded out with pies and cakes. I mean, there was just food everywhere. And it didn't make sense to me why one man would have that much food. One family couldn't eat that much food. And every now and then you hear the doorbell ring and knock at the door, and a neighborhood person will walk in, and he would hook them up a plate of food, and they'd say, all right, man, I love you. See you later on this week. All right, love you, bro. Peace out. And they'd and just every now and then somebody would roll in and get a plate of food. And I had never seen that sort of, hospitality before. So I was taken aback by that. Mm-hmm. And then, he handed me a plate, started loading up all my regular Thanksgiving fixings, the turkey, the ham, the greens, the mac and cheese, the made from scratch dressing, not stovetop. I mean, no diss to stovetop. I mean, a lot of people eat it.
Yeah,
but
of course.
I'm talking made from scratch, your cornbread, and you cook the chicken in with it with your chopped celery, your onions and all that. And the food was phenomenal. I mean, it felt that certain times holidays cannot feel like the holiday
for whatever reason.
But this felt like the ultimate Thanksgiving, and it was all him. So I'm going to town on this food, man. I'm like, this is ridiculously good. And I come from a family of people who I think can cook pretty well, but his food was just like in another place. And then he says to me, he's like, Rashad, I want, don't go too crazy on, all the holiday, on all the Thanksgiving fixings. because I've got barbecue out back. And I'm thinking, oh my God, who cooks barbecue on top of all this? We're like, what are you talking about?
So, the best guy on the planet.
Yeah. And keep in mind, I had like no interest in barbecue whatsoever at this time. I mean, at this point, like, I mean, I never thought about barbecue, never tried cooking barbecue. The word really didn't mean much to me. It was just no different than saying, you know, any other type of cuisine.
You hadn't caught that bug yet, had you?
No, not at all. But it was literally about to happen. So he walks me out back and he shows me these super old school, nothing fancy, you know, super old school 55-gallon, drum smokers that he's cooking on. And it was just ribs and chicken. And I said, you know what? I'm going to save room for this. I wanted to finish the rest of my food, but he's like, trust me, you're going to want to try some of this ribs and chicken. And I mean, I consider myself a Southerner now. I'll be 40 next week.
Well, happy birthday.
Thanks, man. Lived most of my life here in Florida in the South. And I've had ribs and chicken a million times. I mean, more times than I'd even want to remember. But his ribs and chicken, it just stood out head and shoulders above anything I'd ever had. And like I said, I come from a family who can cook pretty good food. And his food was just amazing. So we're on this 10-hour drive, you know, after we wrapped up the holidays, you know, heading back home. And literally all I could think about was that Uncle Leon experience. Oh. The hospitality, the way his house smelled, just with the aromas of food rolling through that house, the quality of all the food, how he made me feel, you know, as a first time being in his house, and then his barbecue. Like, I just couldn't shake the thought of, man, why did his barbecue taste so good? I mean, I just can't wrap my mind around it. So my wife and I started talking about it, and I asked her, I said, so you've been eating like this your whole life, you know, every time you come in his house? I mean, why am I just finding out about this 3 years into our marriage? And she goes, what? I mean, this is just what I grew up eating.
This is family thing, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, his food is phenomenal. She goes, yeah, everybody's been telling him for years he needs to open a restaurant, but he doesn't want to do it. And I said, well, I just can't stop thinking about his barbecue. So she said, this one question changed everything for me. This was the barbecue bug had already bit me, and I'm swelling up with these barbecue bug knots. Yeah, all the, you know, all whatnot. And she said, well, Rashad, why don't you try your hand at it? And it was just like I switched gears mentally from the Uncle Leon experience to like, you know, what if I tried that? You know, I want more of that food, but it's not accessible. It's 10 hours away, 11 hours if there's traffic. Mm-hmm. So I came home and I had a typical, you know, what most people have in the backyard, a basic kettle grill. Mm-hmm. Nothing special, not a smoker, not an offset, just a simple kettle grill. And I saw that kettle grill with like a new set of eyes. It was like, it looked different to mm-hmm. me. I'm like, wow, so you can make stuff that
I know that feeling.
Like this guy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm like, man, let me give it a shot. And Kevin, I just straight up ruined everything that I put on that grill. Man, I didn't know what I was doing.
Just like everyone else, yeah.
Yeah. But that's where I discovered that love and the passion for the smoke, watching a fire, you know, failing, and then trying to go back at it a second time with an energy and an enthusiasm to try to make it better. And I can't say that it ever really got better for the next, I don't know, probably the next year and a half. It really wasn't getting better. It was just less worse each time.
Well, I know. Well, are you doing this on weekends or nights, or was this like...
Total weekends. I think about barbecue all week long, but after, you know, you work, you know, regular 9 to 5, you get off work, you get home. You're not, I mean, I really wasn't, you know, going to fire up the grill. We had a little, you know, our son was an infant at the time, so it just really wasn't the proper space mm-hmm. for after work type stuff. So every weekend I was literally thinking, man, I'm going to get another slab of ribs and I'm going to try it again. I'm going to get another chicken. I'm going to try it again. And each week I just discover, you know, these little nuanced things of what not to do. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, I probably shouldn't close all my dampers off and create like, you know, a smoke chamber from hell and just turn chicken and ribs black and it's just covered with creosote. I probably should. I mean, what happens if I open that little dial at the top, you know? Vent some of that smoke out. And those little things really, it was transformative. It changed just my perspective on how you can figure out something that seems so mysterious. There's so much mystique, so many secrets surrounding barbecue, so many, you know, you talk to some, you know, some people, you know, the old guard, you know, and they don't want to tell you anything. They don't want to share. Everything's a big secret. But it felt cool figuring out something that was so new to me. And
but it's a craft, and you're learning that craft, which is so fascinating. Absolutely. That's so wonderful. to get that opportunity to be able to do that, because a lot of people too don't have the time or the wherewithal.
No, not at all. Yeah.
Were you sharing that with friends? Did you have friends come by, or were you kind of hiding?
No, not at all in the beginning. I'm not a fool, man. I mean, come on.
No.
Those jet black chickens and baby back ribs. I mean, it was nothing. I mean, it wasn't even edible. I mean, it was tough. It tasted horrible. It tasted like you just poured liquid smoke all over. I mean, it was bad. It was horrible. So as it went from like horrible to like, it's not so bad this time, you know, and then it got to the point where it was, you know, halfway decent. I'd have family, you know, over on the weekend just to kind of test it out on them. You know, you expect family to be in your corner, so they'd give pretty good feedback. And I realized I was being like way harder on myself than I think literally anybody else ever would, unless they're just that kind of person.
Well, that's interesting.
And it just started getting, you know, better, progressed. It went from worse to decent to like, okay, this is actually edible and it tastes okay. So we started having friends over. And then by summer of 2013, I could say it was pretty good. It wasn't amazing. It wasn't phenomenal. It wasn't any of that stuff. It was pretty good. Mm-hmm. And a local barbecue competition came into town, and I never considered myself like remotely close to like a competitive, you know, barbecue guy. Mm-hmm. But my wife, she's like, I think you need to enter this competition. And I'm like, I think you're crazy.
Look at her. She's the one that's poking you on the way.
My wife, she's amazing. She's like everything, you know, of everything we do at Big Lee's. It's not like just me. I'm in the spotlight more because she just doesn't, that's not her thing. It's not necessarily my thing, but it falls on someone, and it's just me. But she's amazing. She's an equal in what we do. She's amazing. She can cook a brisket, an incredibly, incredibly great brisket, bad meaning good brisket, on her own without me touching it.
That's awesome.
We went back and forth about this whole barbecue competition thing, and I just wasn't feeling it. I told her, I just don't want to, you know, bring a little, you know, $120, you know, at this point I had a smoker. She got me a smoker for my birthday that same year. I'm like, I don't want to bring a $120 little backyard smoker to a barbecue competition, you know, and look like a fool. You know, it's probably not the right time for it. She just kept going on and on. I think you're overthinking it. It's fun. There's nothing to lose. You might learn stuff. We'll meet cool people.
True.
And I said, all right, we'll do it. If we go out there and look like idiots, it's your fault. You know, look at me. I mean, this is your idea. So I loaded up all my barbecue equipment in the back of a 2012 Nissan Rogue, drove over to our spot. It's called the Livestock Pavilion, this big, you know, open air space that we have here in town. And some local guys who compete, some guys from, you know, the area, maybe not necessarily Ocala. They all came out and had their big fancy rigs, trailers and whatnot, you know, tow behind, you know, smokers and, you know, the whole deal. I felt so out of place. Like if you've ever been in a situation where you just look around and you're like, what am I doing here? Like it was totally that moment. Like I didn't feel like I belonged there at all.
And had you done research on what you needed to cook in it?
No. Well, they gave us the option between beef, chicken, and pork.
Okay.
And I chose the chicken and pork because, I mean, beef just hadn't become anything of, you know, that I had experimented with to get to a decent point with it. So I said ribs and chicken. I kind of know what to do with that on my offset. I can handle that. But just the feeling of being at that competition and seeing folk guys drive by in their rigs, and like I hear people laughing as they're driving by, and I'm thinking, dang, I wonder if they're laughing at me with this little tiny backyard smoker. And I was just in my head.
Well, you got to start somewhere, though.
Yeah, I mean, I did, but I mean, I'm one of those guys, you know, where you know, you want to put your best foot forward.
You have pride in you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. My name means something, you know, so I don't want to put anything out where people are like, oh, yeah, don't try that guy's food. And I had nothing to compare it to. I mean, I think Ocala is a great place, but we haven't been particularly known for, you know, multiple barbecue spots that people would travel into Central Florida to come check out. So we really didn't have a benchmark to necessarily look at other than Uncle Leon's food. So I just started cooking. Some, you know, thought came into my mind, Rashad, they're not going to be judging rigs. They're judging what's coming off of the rigs and the cookers. So I just started cooking, put on my music, my old school jams that I like to listen to while I'm cooking. My wife was doing her thing with our two sons that we had at the time. And, you know, they had a part of the competition where attendees would come up to us and they could get a sample. So I'd slice them a rib, give them a piece of chicken, and they'd stand around and talk and start commenting on the food. And this is the first time, like, non-family or friends shared feedback. And people, you know, they take a bite of the food, and, you know, they kind of give you the sideways stare, nodding the head, and, like, take another bite. Look, man, this is pretty good. And they come back, and feedback kept rolling in, and had some people saying, man, this is some of the best ribs I've ever had in my life. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. So I'm just back there cutting meat with the hood of my smoker lifted up, and my wife hollers over at me. She's like, Rashad, you need to hurry up. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, look, we've got a line of people. No. And I look up over the hood of my smoker, and there's a line of people standing. I've been in my own little la-la land, hiding behind my smoker. And there was a legit line of people waiting for our food. The word had spread within the event that, hey,
that is killer.
Right over there, they've got some pretty good ribs and chicken. So what we turned in our – oh, yeah, it felt great. We turned in our three boxes to the judges to decide, along with the rest of the teams. And they unanimously selected all three judges unanimously selected our box. And there's a post from 2013. I think it's October 9th or October 13th, the day after that competition, where one of those judges posted on our page. And she said, Rashad, you deserve to win tonight. Not only was your barbecue the best barbecue of the night, it's the best barbecue I've ever judged. And she said, furthermore, it's the best barbecue I've ever eaten. And I'm just like, my head's just I'm like, wait, what did she just say? And it started crazy. You know, I'm one of those guys where I don't put too much, you know, say so in what I do. Nobody's ever heard me say, oh, what I do is the best or the great. I don't get into all that. I look at it as, you know, people have palates and taste buds and know how to discern an experience and give their feedback. So I leave that to people to judge. And I told my wife that night, I think we're on to something here. And you know, she's like, you're right. And we swept the entire competition that night. We won everything. All three judges, People's Choice Awards, the lady who was keeping the tally of all the folks who came up to sample our food, they gave feedback on their way out. And she said it was a landslide. Like, second place wasn't even close. She said, we didn't even have to count. We could look at the form. And by this time, we had already adopted the name Big Lee's for what we were doing with barbecue, just as an ode to Uncle Leon, because he had passed away that previous year in 2012. So he never got a chance to see any of this stuff. And that night, everything really just started feeling like, you know, real and unreal at the same time. Like, wow, maybe I really can do something with this barbecue bug that's bitten me. But then unreal as in, wow, that old 70-year-old guy who's lived in Ocala eating barbecue his whole life just told me that one rib was the best barbecue he's ever had.
That means everything.
Yeah. So in 9 months after that, we purchased our food trailer, spent a month renovating it, opened up for business July 12th of 2014. Next Thursday will be our 4-year anniversary.
Wow. Well, happy anniversary for that too. Your birthday and anniversary. Wow.
Day after my birthday. And we've just been trying our best to really just.
How scary was that when you got the truck and the.
It was super scary. I ain't gonna lie. It was super scary. Because food service is nothing. I've never done it. It's not a part of my background. I had been in public health and health education prior to that. I mean, you know, that goes hand in hand with barbecue, you know. So.
Of course.
So we had to learn everything. We had to kind of like study and research and learn everything and kind of figure out a lot as we went. But we just kept food quality and the way we treat people as a premium. Those are like the two things. It's like everything else we can figure out as we go, but we know how to cook. At this point, I felt like, okay, I know how to, you know, cook ribs. I know how to cook chicken. I had added pulled pork. I'd added, rib tips. We did rib tips for a while. And I'd been experimenting with brisket for about a year. And it was about a month before we opened. We were thinking about what do we want in our menu as far as proteins. Mm-hmm. And obviously ribs, chicken, you know, pulled pork. But I'm like, man, I've got to have brisket on this menu to be recognized as a legit barbecue spot, in my opinion. But my brisket wasn't where I wanted it to be. So I spent that month really trying to nail it down and figure out what I was doing wrong. Why did it feel too tough sometimes? Why was it, you know, having sort of a dry texture? Why did it kind of look gray inside instead of that brownish?
Yeah, we've seen all that.
You know, so I just kind of tried to get that nailed down. And it almost didn't make our menu. I almost said, you know what, we're just going to roll with the things that I'm good at. And now brisket and our burn-ins are like, the go-to things when people come to Big Lee's. That's what everybody's asking for.
That is
and it's
awesome.
It's been an incredible ride, bro. It's nothing of what we would have ever imagined. It's been so much more.
What was the reception at the beginning too? Was it pretty good?
It was cool because here's what we did. Like, you know, we tested our concept. We had a Big Lee's Facebook page before we opened for business, because I'd take pictures of my food and post it just to try to see what people would say. Yeah. Oh, the ribs look horrible. Or, man, that looks good. You know, when can I come over? And people kept, you know, making little jokes like that. Like, I'd like to try your food. So I started offering free food to people. I'd meet them. We met some people in the backyard, and it got to the point where strangers would reply, you know, social media. Like, you don't know these people. So I'm like, you're not coming to my house. So I'd post stuff on our page. Like, the first 20 people to like and comment on this post, I'll meet you at the corner grocery store parking lot with a lunchbox with ribs in it, or brisket, or pulled pork with mac and cheese.
Super
and
smart,
cream.
Yeah.
And the post would light up like in no time. And I'd tell my wife, like, babe, come look at this. We're up to however many likes and however many comments in like a half hour. Like, people wanted, there was an interest in our food.
Yeah, huge desire.
So we'd get to the grocery store parking lot. I'd tell them exactly where to meet me. And people would have money. They're like, I want to pay you. I want to give you something for this. I'm like, look, I can't legally sell you barbecue. I'm not licensed to do this. And they're like, well, what can I do? And I said, the only thing I'd ask for you is your honest feedback. Go to our Facebook page. And if you hate the food, straight up tell me. I'm not going to cry. It's not going to hurt my feelings. Everybody's got different tastes. I said, but if you love the food, if you think this tastes really good, if it's the best that you've ever had, if it's the second best, tell me. I want to know. And I felt like this was what we were going to use to test our concept, to test our food. And folks would post reviews. They'd tag other people in the post. Hey, next time Rashad and Patrice are cooking, you guys have to try this food. It's the best barbecue I've ever had. So we started rolling those reviews prior to us opening and rolling the social media interest and energy. And we kind of used that as a springboard as far as the reception. So people were excited when I finally, like, told them, because nobody knew. Mm-hmm. They'd see me. If some people would see me out there working on the trail, like, what are you doing out there at that old trail? I'm just some guy needed some work, you know, helping out, you know, helping get some stuff renovated. And I'm like, that's, and then I quickly changed the subject, you know, because I wanted it to be like a real legit surprise. And like this frenzied energy was like, what? Rashad's got a food truck. Patrice got a food truck. And people responded well. Like, day one, it was cool. I mean, we didn't know what we were doing still. I mean, we had no clue. But the energy around it felt really good. And we would just tell people, look, if you like the food, tell everybody you know about it. So each week the momentum grew, and it's become what it is today. So.
And that's, you know what, Rashad, this is a great primer for people too. I think for someone that's interested in opening up a food truck or a barbecue business or something, that kind of, those are important steps to take. And you didn't just jump into it, open up a restaurant like on day one and then expect people to come. You created interest, you got feedback, and I think that feedback and that, even the negative feedback, like you said, this is great for anybody watching this. I think they would really appreciate that, knowing, having that knowledge and understanding that, you know, some people might not like you said, their taste buds are different, or their taste or palate's different. That's just how it is. And people, there'll be people, like I was talking to Daniel Vaughn about it. I was saying that there are barbecue joints that people love, that I know that in my heart, I don't think it's a very good place. I know maybe they're just phoning it in. It doesn't feel like they're working as hard as maybe they want, that you would think they would. But if someone loves it and they've been eating it for 20 years, how can I disparage that? How can I say,
absolutely,
that's not right?
Absolutely.
It's familiar. It's part of their heart or part of their soul.
And that's why I said earlier, I don't get into, oh, this is the best barbecue, no, or this other place sucks. I look at it, it'd be like walking through a museum, right? Because mm-hmm. food is art. You know, cooking, true, smoking, barbecue, it's art. It'd be like walking through a museum where there's abstract art, there's portraits, there's landscapes, there's sculptures. Oh, sculpture sucks. Yeah, you know, it just, that feels a certain way to me to slam someone's art. Now, rightfully so, if somebody is doing things that they shouldn't be doing with food and charging people for it,
for sure,
yeah that deserves to be called out. But if something's just different than what I'm used to, I'm not going to slam that. I feel like, you know, the culinary world is vast, it's broad, you know, the way you could define what is or isn't barbecue is so broad. So I lean more on the side of trying to explore
for sure
you know, different experiences and appreciate those experiences
rather than celebrate it. That's what I feel like. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do with this. And that's what you would, and that's what I love with your show is that, you know, there's sweet sauce, there's tangy, there's yeah. And I think you were doing a great job of just celebrating it. And I think that's what I think barbecue is all about. And that's about love. Absolutely. And about all like it's kinship. It's feeding people.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, if you ask them, how do you define barbecue, like the meat or the method of cooking the meat is sometimes secondary.
For sure.
Sometimes barbecue is looked at as like just a feeling, a vibe,
mm-hmm.
The camaraderie between the people who do it, the culture, you know, and sometimes you might meat may be around, you mm-hmm. know. But I think at its essence, barbecue is like a way of life. I think some of the nicest people. And some of the most generous and kind, hardworking people just so happen to cook barbecue. Yeah. I just think it goes beyond the meat. Without it really does.
Like, yeah, and that's what I found, and that's what like someone like you, like the someone people might even think because you've been on the Food Network or that you might even not even be able be approachable. When I see you at your on your social media, you're loving every person that comes in, and people have come from far and wide. And I want to get to that too, because I think that's really cool. That's a really great. So did you move your truck every like day, or how did you, what were your hours at the time?
Dude, that's a great question. Like, I'm big on trying to do as much homework as I can before I jump into anything. I want to be a student of whatever it is I'm about to, you know, unite myself to, so to speak. Yeah. So I looked at the food truck or the mobile food scene in Ocala and in Marion County and in our area. And I noticed a lot of the, pretty much not a lot, all of the different, you know, food trucks or food trailers at the time, they were always in different spots. Like, I'm at, you know, and this is cool. I mean, mm-hmm. it's good if that's what you
want
to do.
That's how it is in LA, too, yeah.
Yeah. I'm at this festival today. I'm at this carnival today. We're doing a private thing. And I thought that was cool for them, but I said, you know what? For what we want to do, I want to, like, barbecue, like I said, there's camaraderie in barbecue. Like, barbecue starts in the backyard for most people. Mm-hmm. And those are people that you're going to see more than one time.
For sure.
So for us, it was like, how do we transport the backyard experience of friends and family that would come over to eat our food? How do we transport that to like what we want to do with this food truck? And we kind of talked about it. Like, do we want to move around? Do we want to try to find the biggest, you know, fairs and festivals and events to go
and, like,
to?
Chase or everything. Yeah,
exactly. Or do we just want to stay stationary? Because I look at it like this.
That's so smart.
If you like my food and you try it, you know, this one time and you really enjoy it, you have this really positive experience. The last thing in the world that I want you to do is to have to try to figure out where I'm at the next time you want my food.
For sure.
Personally, again, I know, and that's just on Ocala. It's not, I mean, I guess every scene, every geographical scene is different. But here, you know, people, they don't want to have to try to figure out where I'm at. They want to just say, man, he's right there, right off of Mary Camp Road. You make a left-hand turn if you're heading east, and you can't miss it. You can't. That's the vibe we wanted.
Or drive out to a location, and oh no, you actually had a corporate event, or like a thing. Yeah, or so
absolutely.
Yeah, or like, yeah, the business park is better.
Yeah, absolutely. And a big part of our customer base are some of our folks who maybe up in age, retired. They might not be on social media. So if I'm posting on social media, hey, we're here and there every single day, they're gonna miss it. They're gonna be disappointed. If you got a craving for a specific bite of food and you don't get it, you're unhappy. You're not gonna say, it's okay. So we said, hey, let's keep it stationary. Let's have a solid menu. I didn't want to rotate a bunch of stuff. Oh, we got this week. Next week we're trying this. The next week, I said, no, let's get really, really good at a handful of things and like just try to dominate to the best of our ability those things. Like, if I'm cooking a brisket, I want to cook the hell out of that brisket, not to the point where I burn it, you know.
No, but cook it right, like just the best of your ability.
Cook it right. I want to try to nail it. It's like batting practice, swinging a bat at a ball over and over and over and over and over again, to where you the feel of the ball coming off of the bat, you know what it's going to do. Sometimes you can just smell a brisket while it's cooking, and you can kind of know where it's heading. You can look at a brisket halfway through a cooking, tell, all right, I know where this is going. That's what I wanted. I wanted to feel like you know, we can really control this meet and dictate, you know, our outcomes really, really well. I place a high value on, our customers being happy and satisfied. I'm not a people pleaser, but I look at it like this, you know, people work hard for their money. The last thing in the world I want them to do is to show up to my spot and feel like, man, that's all I got for $20, man. Like, and it wasn't even good. So yeah,
because barbecue is not cheap. It's not something that you can't charge like $3 for barbecue.
No, it's definitely not cheap. But you know, I want to communicate value in everything that I do. I want people to say, man, some thought was put into this. So yeah, that's kind of how we handled that whole part of it. And we stayed
in one location, which was smart.
Yep, up until about 2 years, prior to 2 years of business. Or the spot that we're at, it just became like crammed. We'd get slammed. There'd be no place to park. The line was kind of crazy. And everybody thinks like in the barbecue world, a long line is cool. But there's some pros and cons
for sure
if you're not working the line the right way. So our spot, it just became too congested. It was too tight. It just wasn't good anymore. It wasn't a good look. So we literally moved 117 footsteps, my footsteps, to our new location, literally right across the street. And it's like a night and day difference. So much better. We've got a food truck. You need storage. You can't fit everything into a trailer. You don't want to be running back and forth to a separate storage location. So we've got everything that we need all in one spot at this point. And nobody can miss us. I mean, we're literally across the street from where we used to be. So they can't miss us.
At what point did you get a new smoker? Was that right prior to opening the food truck or dude?
That's a great question. It was like right before my wife's the one who noticed that the food trailer that we ended up buying was for sale. And prior to that, I had been scouring the internet looking for a rotisserie stick burner. I just thought the concept would be cool. And the way, you know, you're dealing with like a charcoal grill, you know, indirect heat, direct heat, hot spots, cold spots with the traditional cheap store-bought offset smoker. I was like, man, I wonder what a rotisserie would do. You know, I was getting all nerdy with all this stuff. And I saw some of the prices for some of these rotisseries that were out there. I mean, good quality stuff. But, you know, for a backyard guy, I wasn't going to drop, you know, the prices that I saw just for backyard cooking. So the first day that I went over to see this trailer, she's like, hey, I want you to come check out something. There's this food trailer for sale. You know, I walked in there and I see the smoker, this old, you know, 300 gallon-ish old fuel tank that's been converted into a smoker, offset firebox on the back, double doors on the front, double smokestacks. I'm like, that's a pretty gnarly looking smoker. And the lady that was showing it to us, it was the mother of the guy who operated it. She goes, I want you to check this out. She opens one of the doors and flips the switch, and the racks start rotating. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This has a rotisserie stick burner in it.
Whoa.
I'm like, you got to be. And I said that out loud. You got to be kidding me. And she's like, what? Did I do something wrong? I'm like, no, you did everything right. I'm like, this trailer's mine. And I kind of jumped the gun with my emotions. But like, that was like a done deal for me when I saw that smoker in there. So I was able to start cooking on that smoker. And my buddy had just built a 120-gallon stick burner that I was cooking with in the backyard. And we got permission from the state to add that to our operation once, you know, we kind of maxed out the capacity of that little 300-gallon. And then about 9-10 months ago, me and a buddy of mine, we just built a 1,000-gallon offset stick burner.
Nice.
It's called Biggie Smalls. It's a beast, bro. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's not a 1,000-gallon propane tank. It's a 1,000-gallon water tank.
So interesting.
Super thick steel. Heat retention's out of this world. Ridiculously huge firebox made out of a 500-gallon, a third of a 500-gallon propane tank. And it's mean. It's super ugly, but it's a machine.
How's the airflow in that?
The airflow is incredible. We've got a 10-inch smokestack on it. It's about 6 feet tall. The draw is incredible. I love watching flames just bend like a 45 degree, and it's just the airflow pulling those flames into the smoke chamber. I'll just sit there and watch that, and it's like a million degrees by the firebox in Florida.
But it's a beautiful thing. It's so gorgeous.
And it burns so clean because the size of the firebox, the fire is able to breathe. We've got some really innovative things we did with the way we were able to burn our wood in there outside.
What kind of wood are you using there?
We only burn a seasoned oak. Okay. It's kiln dried down to about a 15% moisture content. So it burns really well. I'm able to throw a stick in there and it immediately takes off. We don't have to do a lot of smoldering or steaming with, wood that's laden with moisture. But it's a machine. I love that smoker.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so killer. Yeah. So what's your meats? What meats are you serving that are different? I saw that you have sausage on your menu too. Is that?
Yeah, we have sausage. We have a house-made sausage that we do. And we have another one that we bring in. It's not something that we package. But our sausage is really good. We've got our chicken. We do chickens. We cook them in halves and then we break them down for service. We've got pulled pork. Pulled pork is phenomenal. I love our pulled pork. We've got massive beef short ribs, which have just become like a thing. People just feel like they need a beef rib every now and then, I guess.
Of course, of course.
So we've got those.
It's one of the best things on the planet.
And then we also do a brisket, and we do burn-ins. It's not Kansas City style burn-ins. It's just straight up, we're cubing the point of a brisket, giving a different texture and a different presentation experience. So it's pretty good stuff, man.
That's killer. That is awesome. So and then what sides? You have four sides?
So we've got a bunch of different sides that we can do, but in the food truck business, you don't really have the space.
Yeah,
nor is it in your best interest to have 20 different side items, in my opinion. So we do Southern style mac and cheese, which is like my wife's grandmother's recipe. So super old recipe. I fell in love with it. I thought my family made pretty good mac and cheese until she made hers for the first time, our first year of marriage, and I about lost it. So we served that. We do a coleslaw. We also do baked beans and a Brunswick stew. Brunswick stew is killer. Lights out Brunswick stew. Oh,
that's awesome.
Yeah. And then like every now and then we'll roll out collard greens if we're filling it, but it's not something we do, often. And one of the real cool items that we've been doing for about 2 years now, we take our regular mac and cheese and we stuff it with a layer of chopped and lightly sauced brisket.
Oh.
And that brisket is sandwiched between two layers of smoked Gouda. And there's like more mac and cheese on the top and bottom. Oh. Finish the top
off ridiculous.
With extra sharp cheddar. So it's like, it's super dense. It's really, it's a really robust meal. It's the marriage of two of our top selling items, our mac and cheese and our brisket. And we named it the Kathy. Everything at Big Lee. So like we've tried to theme a lot of things about Big Lee's after Uncle Leon, just continually paying respect to him and the way he inspired me just with his food. So that dish is called the Kathy, and Kathy is his widow.
Oh, so that's special. That's killer. And then, I saw that you have, it's so people mostly order plates, right? Like it would be, is that kind of how you, or do you guys do individual meats, or is it more so like because I know that you have like a huge platter too, like a massive.
Yeah, we've got a few things. We've got an a la carte menu where folks can just order, half pound, a pound of whatever protein, or full slab or half slab of ribs, full or half chicken, however they want to do it. And then if you don't want to walk away with like 3 pounds of brisket just because you want a bite of barbecue for lunch, we do sandwiches. So you can get a sandwich and a side. You can get a lunch box with two sides, which is 12 ounces of meat and double sides. And then we've got platters. We've got, a platter where you can get, like, all of our proteins in there. You get a large one, feeds close to 20 people. Half-size one feeds about 9 to 10 people. And then we've just rolled out beef platters because so many people have been just, like, the brisket, burn-ins, and beef ribs have really become a thing in this area. So it's like, hey, let's load up a platter full of beef ribs and brisket and burn ends and make a bunch of people happy. And those have just kind of gone crazy lately.
And also those are the ones that people take lots of pictures of too.
That never hurts when you get your staff to kind of line up a platter the way it's supposed to look, mm-hmm. and people take some good pictures of it. And it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. No, and there's something about a beautiful barbecue plate. You have to take a photo of it. It's something. It's so good. if you could hold yourself from eating it. So I wanted to kind of wrap it up a little bit by talking about your show and about how did that happen and what was that experience like?
Well, it was a Friday at Big Lee's. I was working the window taking orders, and like five customers all in one day, like just kept saying the same thing. Rashad, Guy Fieri's got this new project he's working on. He's doing a casting call. I think you'd be great for it. And after hearing it like the first two times, like, oh, cool, whatever. The third, fourth time, you're like, I wonder what this is all about. Like the last time, the person who said it, her name's Leanne Stewart. She said it just so much emphasis. She was so emphatic about how she thought I'd be great at this show. And I kind of slowed down and just asked her some questions about it. I'm like, well, if I were to make it on something like this, would you watch a show with me in it? She goes, what, are you kidding me? Of course I'd watch it. I love you. So I'm like, I need to check this thing out. She goes, all right, I've already messaged the link to you on Facebook, so just check it out. So my wife and I, we looked at it. We looked at what they were looking for, and the turnaround time for everything was pretty close. Like, the casting call was closing in, like, 2 days from there. Oh, wow. So I submitted a video. Some good friends of ours helped us put a video together. We sent it off, got a call back the next day. The young lady from the casting company was all like, you know, yeah, Guy and his team of producers, they saw your video and everybody loved it. Guy himself saw it. He loved it. And we want you to be a part of this project. We need you to fly out to LA this Friday. Can you do that?
That's so fast.
She's like, you're going to be gone for 6 weeks solid. Can you do that? And I'm like, wow, this is moving super fast. And it's just one of those moments in life where it's a really cool opportunity. It's, you know, where you can't say, well, I don't know if I can be gone for 6 weeks. Well, I don't know if I can fly out to LA at such a short notice. It's like, yeah, I can do all that, and we'll figure out the rest as we go, like we've done with everything else. Yeah,
that's what it seems like. You're good at that.
Well, I'm a freestyle rapper, so my brain thinks in, like, freestyle and, like, impromptu type stuff. So the project was amazing. All the participants, you know, the Grill Dads, Christian, the grandmas, like everybody, Zane, Kaplansky, Dariani, Lindsay, they're all cool, really cool people. I feel like we're all like lifetime friends with each other. And Guy himself, I mean, people always ask me, like, what was it like working with him? What kind of person is he? And there's a lot of things you could say about a person. You could say somebody's, you know, a lot of things. There's a lot of different ways you can go with it. But my biggest takeaway is that he's probably the most generous person I've ever met in my life. You know, just somebody who has so much of what a lot of people would want to have in life. He's got it. And with that, you can treat people and kind of be any kind of way and be full of yourself and a lot of that sort of stuff. But he's just incredibly generous. And then you take a step back and think about how the man's built a television career out of giving a national and international platform to small eateries like Big Lee's, some of these places that folks would probably never even hear of. And it changes their lives. I mean, I don't know any one other individual who can say that they've done more for small local mom and pop eateries than him. I'm not saying that there isn't another person.
I don't think there is, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
and I've talked to a lot of them, and it changes them overnight.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, and he's a solid dude, man. It's not like the cameras turn off and it's like, oh, here's the real person, you know, that comes out. He's mentored me outside of the cameras being on. He's given me advice about, you know, some smart decisions to make, you know, now that I've gotten all the exposure that I've gotten and all the attention that our business has gotten. And he didn't have to do that. I mean, he called me up back in January what's up, Christopher? Son just got home.
That's cool.
Out of the clear blue. And he's like, look, I'm going to be down in Miami shooting Triple D. If you and Patrice can join me, I'd love for you guys to come and hang out for the day. And all day long, we just kicked it. And he just, like, back in the day, we'd call it dropping knowledge. And he's just dropped knowledge all day long, just, like, in between, you know, filming one segment, had to break down in the kitchen and go set up for the next dish. He'd come back out. And there's other chefs that he invited. And he'd spend, like, dedicated time just, like, sharing really cool things with me that no one else could really tell me because, like, he's the only person that could, I guess, really gets the dynamic that I'm in, you know, in regards to all the TV stuff.
So. Yeah, and he's experienced solid. So much. Yeah, and I've only heard good things. And when you were right before you said the word generous, that's the word that popped up in my head that I've heard the most is that he is a generous guy. That's super generous. So that's great to hear. And it's so exciting that you got to do that. How many episodes did you film?
For my show, Eat Sleep Barbecue, we filmed 6 episodes.
I was going to say 6. I wasn't sure if it was 6 or 8.
Yep. 6 episodes, 4 have aired already and 2 haven't aired yet. They're still deciding when they want to air those two, so I'm just hanging tight.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for and to say that Guy's generous, you're super generous doing this. giving people, and especially myself, all this information. I love talking to you, and just the back and forth that we had via email too is just, you're just an outstanding human, and I really appreciate it. And I'm proud of you and all the work that you've done and all the success that you've had, and I wish you the most success. I can't wait to come out to Florida and visit you. I cannot wait.
We're going to take great care of you, bro.
Well, thank you so much, and have a great rest of your week, great weekend. And is there anything else that people don't know that they might need to know? I'll put all this information in the show notes. I'm doing a companion blog piece, so I'll put all that. So I'll shoot you those over to make sure I haven't missed anything. But, man, thank you so much.
I think it was pretty solid. There's nothing else I'd really add. I think you're a really gracious host. Thank you for reaching out to me to do this. I had a blast, man. And likewise with everything you said about me, I think you're a really solid dude. I loved hearing your story.
Thank you
for what you're doing to highlight what's going on in the barbecue world.
I love this world so much. It's and like you said, the people are fantastic humans. They're great people. Yeah.
Absolutely, man.
Awesome. Well, if anybody's in your area, they got to check you out. But I'll put all the information, maps and stuff, so that way they can find you. But thanks so much. Enjoy your evening.
No problem, Kevin.
All right, take it easy.
All right, you too, bro.